5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the best, eat a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad lot, bad new, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just stole my hybrid mimosa, 16.7 THC sun. She's a dangerous bee in New York City. Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flats and flats of party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, but a mess is tad's a tatter. My brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should be shaking. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Mafia tonight on a misery Monday night in New York, and we're watching the Rams leading the Bears in the third quarter at SoFi in Lipstick City at their new stadium in Inglewood. It's styling that place. Rams up 10-3 as we speak and moving. They have the ball deep in Chicago territory after a couple of nice passes from Goff and a little bit of a run from Woods, and they got the ball back on a punt after they had punted down to the Bears one and then stopped the Bears on third down and got the ball back on a punt, you know, past midfield, but they moved the ball down and now they're in a position to get involved in this game. In terms of, they've already got a 7-point lead. They're trying to make it more. There's about 9 minutes left in the third. So early in the third, they're on the Bears 13-yard line in a timeout right now. So they had a pass to Kupp for 10 yards that set it up. So here they are in the red zone on a 5-play, 42-yard drive. First and 10. Let's see if they can do anything against that stout Chicago defense. That's what we got tonight. Bears and Rams on the Monday nighter. We got a lot to do tonight on the bench.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Brown up the middle for a 1 yard touchdown, and Sloman the kick now 17-3 Rams after the Brown touchdown. And they now are up two scores on the Bears in LA, 17-3. And then, you know, this is when I guess the point of the game where you start wondering how will Chicago come back and cover? Right, because that's really what it's about now, because you think you got it in the bag until there's 10 seconds left in the game and the Bears are going for the winning score, right, Moff? I mean, did that not happen in every, like, well, how many games yesterday did it come down to the last play? Five? Lions? The Panthers came down to the last play. That was a missed field goal. And then I'm just looking at the other ones, and that was it in terms of last minute, last second, last seconds, you know, last, literally last play, last possession. I mean, that's crazy that that many games happen that way. You know what I mean? Like, you just, I'm just, when I watch the games now on Sundays, I literally feel like, so, like, let's say, for instance, in the afternoon games, the first thing I saw was, like, the Raiders score, right? They scored first, didn't they? Didn't they score first against the Bucks? I think they did. It was, like, 7-0. And the first thing I said, I was sitting there watching the game, and I went, oh, well, that doesn't matter. I go, that none of that matters. Who scores first? Who has the ball? And who's, you know, catching passes and throwing bombs and completing, having first downs, time of possession. None of it matters, because the only thing that matters in the NFL is the second half and the fourth quarter. That's it. Tell me I'm wrong. What game is decided in the first quarter or the first half? None. I mean, you know, what is there, like, one, or you might get one game. One game a week is the game's over in the first quarter. What was it? The Chiefs? Chiefs Broncos? I don't even think that was over in the first quarter. But I know that, you know, these teams, you know, you watch a game and you see a team score first and you're like, yeah. And you're like on your money. Guys at the sports book are like, yeah, I'm off and running. It doesn't mean jack, because it all boils down to the last 10 minutes. It's like every single game turns into this crazy, unexplainable force of nature. Like, it's like a, it's almost like a UFO or something, a paranormal. It just always comes down to some crazy, unexplained, you know, mystery of how is this game all of a sudden coming down to the last possession, the last play, the last pass, the last everything. It is so unbelievable. Like, 1 minute your team's in the, they're ready to celebrate, go to the locker room and have a beer, and you're going to cover your bet. And the next minute you're broke and your girlfriend's making out with your best friend. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, did you see the, you know, the Cleveland Cincinnati game was just like the first game. You remember when Cincinnati backdoored in that first game of the week? In week one, and then they, you know, they got the backdoor cover and the game was like 35-30. How about that game yesterday? It went back and forth. How many times did they change leads in the second half? It was like every time one of them had a possession, the other team, you know, they scored. They just kept going back and forth, scoring, back and forth, scoring, back and forth. And then Baker Mayfield with 11 seconds left throws it to Peoples-Jones, game over, touchdown. And that was after the Bengals had taken a lead. They thought the game was over. They're celebrating. And it's these crazy, absolutely unexplainable forces of nature where all of a sudden a team is completely finished, like the Lions, right? How is that possible that the guy, can you even explain it? The guy, Gurley, runs the ball to the goal line and then falls into the end zone, basically, with his weight. They score instead of stopping at the one, letting the clock run out, kick the game-winning field goal, game over. Instead, they give the Lions the ball back, and it's just inexplicable. And then they get the ball back with a minute left, and they move down the field and score a touchdown on the last play of the game with no time left whatsoever. He throws to Hawk, and they win the game. And it's just, you can't even make this stuff up. It's so crazy. Interception in the end zone by the Rams right now as the Bears move down the field after getting scored on. They were at the 10-yard line, ready to score. He throws it into the end zone, and they pick it off, and Foles gets jimmied, and you get the boom. He moved right down the field, throws it into the end zone, looking for Mooney. Boom. It's deflected by the corner and picked off by the Rams, and that's all she wrote. Hill deflected it, and Rapp picked it off. Boom. Rams ball. And that was a real scoring chance right there for the Bears. I mean, they moved right down the field. Did they not? I mean, that is crazy. So they moved. I mean, they were at their own 34. They moved to the 48. They moved down to the Rams 41. They moved to the Rams 15. They moved to the Rams 9. And Foles gets the pass picked off, trying to hit Mooney, picked off by Rapp, and that's that. Rams have the ball now, and now there's 5 minutes left in the third, and they take over, and let's see how they handle their business. I'm still just waiting for the inexplicable ending. I just, you know, is there ever just a game that the game's over, and you're in the bag, and you got the money, and that's that, and you're going to win your bet? When does that happen easily anymore in the NFL? Besides, like, never. Like, yesterday, as I mentioned, there was basically one game, the Chiefs game, that was a blowout, and that was it. Every other game was crazy. You can't even describe. The Titans came down for a tying field goal. Oh, I guess, excuse me, the Niners blew out the patch. You're right. So Falcons, that was crazy. Bengals, Browns was crazy. Saints, Panthers ended up being crazy. The Bills game was crazy. They didn't cover the 11 because they kicked 6 field goals to win. They never scored a touchdown. You can't even explain that. Against the Jets, how do you not score a touchdown against the Jets? I don't care who the defensive coordinator is. They're the worst team in the league. You've got to score touchdowns when you play the Jets. That's all there is to it. The Washington game with Dallas, that was a blowout, 25-3, whatever. And then the Texans, I guess that was a blowout. The Packers whacked them. But the Cardinals game was overtime, and the Chargers game was relatively close. It wasn't a huge blowout or anything by the Chargers. They covered, but – and then Tampa whacked the Raiders. That was pretty easy. You keep talking about the Buccaneers every week, if you haven't noticed, they are slowly but surely, in my opinion, turning into the best team in the NFC. I mean, you could see it, right? Like, do you not think that they're pretty formidable now and they mean business? I mean, let's face facts. They win 45-20. They're now 5-2. Brady threw for 4 touchdowns, 369 yards. I actually thought that his passes yesterday were brilliant. I mean, honestly, like, he was throwing ropes all day and beautiful floating bombs, corner end zone routes, cross field passes, tight, you know, rope passes with defenders all over his receivers. And he still made the perfect throws to Miller, to Evans. I mean, the guy, it's just, so unbelievable what he's doing at his age. Forget about the age anymore, right? What is he? 43, 44 years old. I can't even keep track of his age. All I know is that no one, did you really think, because they didn't have odds to like win the Super Bowl, really? Did you really think that this guy, most people thought he was going there to finish his career, right? No one said, oh, he's just going to do whatever he wants. He's coming into his own again, like where he's just playing like dominant Tom Brady quarterback, and that team is dangerous.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all on the bench, Jim McBride is our good friend up in Boston with the Globe, and we thought we'd bring him on tonight to talk about all the Patriots problems and get his reaction to what Tom Brady's doing, even though he probably doesn't want to talk about that. Hey, Jim, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Scott. How are you?
I'm turning the corner. So I was just talking to Mafia about and the audience about how Brady, I honestly, like the passes that he threw in Vegas yesterday were so perfect and so on and so tight and so on a rope, and his floating bombs were so perfect. I just can't even believe what I'm seeing from him. Like, he threw four touchdowns yesterday and he was, you know, completely rocking for the Bucs. And I think they're the best team in the NFC. Can you even believe, what is he, like 65 years old? The guy is like, he's making George Blanda like an afterthought. What this guy's doing in Tampa, and it has, what has it taken him? Like no time at all to like take over that team. And he's also getting what he wants. Don't tell me he didn't get Brown there. I don't believe a word that comes out of Arian's mouth.
Oh man, playing quarterback and GM at the same time—it's got—it can't be—it can't be easy. But you know, he had four touchdown passes yesterday. The Patriots have three all season, so you know, it's been ugly up here.
I mean, when you see this guy doing that, what are like? Has there been a reaction to it back in Boston? Because it has to be, because you guys, in terms of now with Cam Newton and Stidham, they look awful. And so I can't think of anything worse. That'd be like the girlfriend that left you and you're begging her to come home. Like, you're begging her to come back and she's off with some new lover. You're doomed. He's like gone. And your quarterback situation is so bad right now. Your season's going down the toilet.
Yeah, it's been a bad feeling for a couple of weeks. You know, the first 3 weeks or so of the season, people hadn't really paid much attention to Tom, because the Patriots were 2-1 and really only a play away from being 3-0 if Cam had snuck that ball in up in Seattle. They'd be 3-0. So people were very excited about Cam and they were excited about the Patriots, and they didn't really give Tom much of a thought anymore. But these last 2 weeks, it's been rough. And then when they saw those deep balls yesterday, I think people were really stunned, because, you know, Tom hadn't thrown that deep ball in New England in probably 3 or 4 years before, where he had a deep ball like that. So, yeah, it's a terrible juxtaposition that Patriots fans are in right now.
I mean, you know, what's weird is that there was talk about how he didn't have the he didn't have the players to make those plays anymore in New England. And he just didn't have those types of receivers. He had his Edelman, but that was, you know, basically the gist of it. And then he goes down to Tampa and he's got, you know, he's got great hands and speed and size in Evans and Godwin and Miller. And I mean, he had, obviously he still has Gronk, and Gronk started catching touchdown passes despite Arians doesn't like tight ends. You know, it's funny for me, like, I'm just going to say this. I'm starting to like not be a fan of Arians. I don't like, who in their right mind, seriously, has a guy like Gronkowski on his team? I don't care who you are. And you say, and he's never used tight ends, even in Pittsburgh. I guess in Pittsburgh, he used a tight end back in the day. But that's the only time he's ever used it. And he said he's not, you know, this guy's a blocker and all the rest. Have you seen what Brady's doing now with Gronkowski, throwing him touchdown passes now every week? And, you know, I don't even listen to Bruce Arians anymore. I just listen. Brady's the coach. He's the GM. He's the quarterback. And he can throw it to whoever he effing wants to throw it to. I don't listen to Bruce anymore. Bruce should worry about that ugly mask he wears out on the field that makes him look like a Martian. And stop getting involved in decisions with football, because Tom's in charge now.
Yeah, that's pretty clear. That Tom's in charge. But like you say, the way he's using the tight end, the way he went out and got Antonio Brown, and you know, you peeled off those names of the weapons he has down there, and Brown's probably a better receiver than all of them once he knocks the rust off. So
he is.
You know, they're going to need more than one ball down there, because Tom just not going to know who to throw it to.
When he played with Brown for 5 minutes in New England, he caught a touchdown in Miami for the Pats. That took all of 5 minutes. And you know that guy's better than the rest of them. The only one that can even hold a candle to him is Evans. And Evans has been all kinds of banged up. If Brown comes in there and keeps his mouth shut and doesn't worry about, you know, how many targets and all the rest, and he just plays ball, and when Brady sees him and throws it to him, he catches touchdowns, he's going to kick ass and take names. If he turns into the head case that he'd become in Pittsburgh, because he'd lost his mind, money changed that guy. One day he was the greatest player. Remember Central Michigan? And then all of a sudden he comes out, everything's fine. Then he started making all the money. Then he started having all the problems off the field, and the sexual assault cases, and getting in fights, throwing furniture, doing it, acting like some kind of playboy. I don't know what he was. He lost his mind. Do you think that guy's capable of coming back and being a solid player and not being a D?
Yeah, I do, because he's been away from it for so long. You know, he never really had it taken away from him for this long. So I think that, you know, Rosenhaus fired him. I think he burned a lot of bridges, and he finally realized, hey, you know, this has been taken away from me. I got to straighten up and fly right. I know Arians has come out and said that he's a different guy. I don't really buy Arians' talk, but I think working with Tom, I think he would have been fine last year in New England if the sexual assault stuff didn't come out. But working with Tom as clearly on the football field, he would have been fine. And I think he'll be fine down there, because I think he's probably finally realized that this isn't a second chance. This is his last chance.
I said on the air last week, in the last 10 years, from 2010 until now, he's the best receiver in the NFL. And that means better than Julio Jones.
You could even tell during the 1 week of practice where he was with the Patriots during individual drills that we got to watch, that he was so far ahead of anyone on that team. And the chemistry he built with Tom in really 4 days before they went down to Miami and won that game, it was incredible. And you could see how kind of rejuvenated Tom was, and kind of how his personality changed after they released him. He was not on board with releasing them, and you know, he really was kind of a mopey guy after that.
So just so everyone's updated, the Rams scored again after they picked off the ball from Foles in the end zone. They marched down the field and scored again, and bottom line, it's 24-3 now. Rams are up with about 20 seconds left in the third. So they built this huge lead on the Bears now. By the way, I just wanted to mention that everyone and their brother took the Bears tonight in that 6.5 points. In fact, all day long today on television when I was on, everyone told me they were on the Bears not only to cover the 6.5, but to win the game outright. I just wanted to slip in the fact that I took the Rams and laid 5.5. Anyway, Jim McBride with us from the Boston Globe. I have to ask you about Cam Newton. I just don't understand it, Jimmy. I honestly, because I'm a fan of his game and I think he's a monster. And I just think he's, I felt fully, and I've said this to you, that he had all kinds of football left in him. And I think he's just an incredible talent. And I thought his foot's better. His shoulder's been operated on. I think it's better. He looks good. He looked fantastic. And then I don't know what the hell happened, but he hit a wall. I mean, when he drops back now, I'm seeing a guy just standing in the pocket, not moving at all, not moving his feet, just waiting. In fact, not only waiting to get hit, but he has no sense of what's behind him. You know how like Brady always knew when that guy was coming up on his backside, he could smell him. He could feel him coming like a force field. And Newton is just getting obliterated in that pocket. And I just sense there's something wrong with him. It's like he's, I hate to say it, he looks like he's lost it, like he's shot.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of camp, his mechanics weren't all that good. And they worked on him a lot. And by the time camp ended, he had improved so much. And, you know, even through the first couple of weeks of the season, you could tell that, you know, his arm angle was good. His feet were moving. He was, you know, he was really forcing the ball downfield. And then, you know, he had that 2-week layoff with the COVID. And it seemed like everything fell back to pre-training camp with him. He's like you said, he's not moving his feet. He's not even really moving his waist. It's his whole upper body. That's all he's using when he's throwing the ball. And, you know, it's just not going where it should be. The ball's flying out. He's short hopping guys. And I hope that it's a rust issue where he was, you know, we knocked out of practice for a couple of weeks and not a physical problem with his shoulder. He told us yesterday that his shoulder felt fine. So, but it's gotta be one of those two things. It's either rust from not practicing for 2 weeks or his shoulder is bothering him and he's trying to compensate by throwing it a different way, by adjusting his mechanics, and it's clearly not working. You know, someone made the comment yesterday that he looks like he aged 5 years and 5 weeks, and, you know, that was pretty accurate.
You know, that's the best thing I've heard right there, what you just said. Not only that, you know, the comment about he aged 5 years and 5 weeks, but I actually think that it's the first time I thought, actually, just now, this very second, that maybe the shoulder is a problem again, because I can't fathom seeing a guy that big, that strong, throw for 98 yards and 3 picks. Like, something's got to be wrong with him that he can't throw it. Now, hold on, Jim. I know you're going to have to stay up late with me tonight because I got to talk more with you. I'm not having any of this candy-ass one-segment stuff with Jim McBride. We'll be right back with the Boston Globe stud. All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Jim McBride of the Boston Globe's with us. So yesterday, I'm watching this game. I couldn't even believe what I was watching. I sat and watched the Patriots, right? And I'm sitting there going, this is like absolutely, it's like a bad movie. I'm sitting there watching and I'm going, is this even happening? What is going on? I have never in 20 years seen him get his ass beat that badly, Bill Belichick. And there was nothing he could do about it. He just stood there because his team is so awful. I can't even believe what's happened to them. Can you even explain it to me?
Yeah, I don't know how they were this competitive the first 3 weeks of the season, or even first 4 weeks, when you consider, you know, the week four they played that game in Kansas City. And, you know, if Cam had played that game, I think a lot of us thought they would have won it, because, you know, Hoyer played so badly in that game, but the defense kept them in it. So, you know, there was visions where people were saying they were 2-2 and they could be 4-0. And now all of a sudden these last two games, you know, it's really been ugly against the Broncos last week and, you know, against the 49ers yesterday. So I think that, you know, going forward, you know, this week in Buffalo is a huge game for the Patriots, because if they beat Buffalo, they're still in contention for the division in a playoff spot, especially this year with the expanded, you know, wild card. I think if they lose to Buffalo, you know, then they probably become sellers. And, you know, that 48 hours between Sunday and Election Day, when it's also trade deadline day, that's going to be, you know, an unbelievable amount of calls are going to be. And the big question is, are the Patriots going to be fielding the calls, or are they going to be making offers? And I think it all comes down to whether they can beat Buffalo Sunday. And currently, you know, I don't think they can. They'd have to have a really strong week of practice.
Yeah, because the Bills are better than the Patriots anymore, and that's all there is to it. And I got to tell you, when they lost to Denver, I was like, Denver's not even good. They're not a good team. And I don't care what anybody says. Yeah. They're not a good team. And they proved it yesterday, getting their ass pasted by Kansas City. That's who they are, is that team, because they have nothing. They really don't. And they kicked your ass. And then the Niners, who I also – these people talking the Niners are winning the West, that's not happening either. I'm not buying the Niners at this point. People, what, Russell Wilson loses a game in overtime in Arizona on the road to a Kyler Murray, Nuke Hopkins team that's decent for sure. They lost. Now everyone's off the Seattle because they lost a game. They're not going to win the division. They are going to win the division. Not the Rams, not the Niners, but the Niners came in and kicked your ass. And you just said it. The Bills are going to probably beat you. And I think they will beat you, because the team I'm watching, you know what they are? They remind me of, and I'm not trying to be negative. This has nothing to do with how much I love you, Jim. I'm just telling the facts. The facts are is that Vegas thought they were going to be horrible. Remember that Vegas had an over-under on them of about 8. And they just they don't believe in the Patriots this year without Brady. And this is coming up like a rose in the spring out of the ground. Honestly, the Patriots are turning into who Vegas thought they would be, a very average or below average football team, because they lost all their best players. And it started for me with Hightower and Chung. And then from there, I was like, Van Noy. And then I'm like, once those three were gone, you heard me. I said it to you. They're doomed.
Yeah. And you could add Jamie Collins into that mix. The defense really took a huge hit with free agency and opt-outs. So, you know, I thought that the Patriots were going to be a lot harder to defend watching Cam late in camp. I said, you know, this guy had finally looked like he did back in 2017, 2018. But it just hasn't happened. You know, the receiving core is taking their hits. Edelman is clearly hurt. He's got a knee injury. He's on the report every week, and I think he's hurt more than we were led to believe, because he doesn't have that explosive in and out of his cuts. He hasn't built up a rapport at all with Cam, so that's been tough. N'Keal Harry, who I think everybody thought was going to have a breakout year this year after an injury-riddled rookie season, hasn't really been able to create separation. The deep threat is Damiere Byrd, who Cam worked with in Carolina. He's gotten open a few times, but Cam hasn't found him. So it's a lack of weapons, and the weapons that are there, Cam's not finding them. And so they've become easy to defend because, you know, guys are loading up front because they can put pressure on Cam and they can stop the run that way. So it's really been a struggle the last 2 weeks, especially. And it becomes such a surprise to a guy like me who sees them every day and covers them every day, because I came out of Seattle thinking, wow, this team's really good. You know, they don't usually count moral victories in New England, but I think that a lot of guys thought that was the night where, you know, they proved something, and they really could have been 3-1, or they could have been 2-0 leaving that city. And, you know, then the next week they beat the Raiders and they're 2-1 and people are still flying high. And it's just kind of, it's all been downhill from there. And, you know, obviously they've missed a lot of practice time. And I think that's, you know, going in after the Denver game, a lot of people said, you know, they didn't practice all week. The Patriots didn't use it as an excuse, but you could tell that they were rusty. But last week or yesterday, I'm not sure. The answers weren't there on either side of the ball.
So what is your opinion of seeing Bill Belichick in this predicament? Because I'm interested to know what he's got to be I mean, you got to be walking on eggshells going around that guy right about now. What is he like when they look like this?
Well, I think he's singularly focused on the next game, and he's, you know, and practice. You know, talking to him after the game yesterday, and then again this afternoon, I think he must have mentioned getting back to practice and coaching better and playing better, you know, probably 15 times between the two interviews. So I think he really, you know, his comfort zone is that practice field, and that was really taken away from them for the better part of 2 weeks. So he's really anxious to get out there and get back to a sense of normalcy. I think, you know, this has been it's been a tough year for every team. Don't get me wrong, but especially the last month with the Patriots with the COVID scare. I mean, they lost Cam, they lost Stephon Gilmore for a while. So, you know, what were the chances of the two guys that they lost to COVID were their most important player on offense and their best player on defense? So I think a lot of people are just trying to take a deep breath and get back to practice and get some sense of normalcy. And maybe getting on the road this weekend will do them some good and kind of get away from New England for a while.
So do you think, Jim McBride with us from the Boston Globe, do you think that what you've seen of Stidham, so we only saw him get thrown in there yesterday late, but and then before that we saw Hoyer, whatever, but we've seen Stidham play a couple times now. And I know that, I guess in the past you've talked to me about they're high on Stidham, but I got to tell you, I'd rather get high than watch Stidham because he looks terrible to me. I don't know where is all this great Jared Stidham, because he looks terrible.
I think what's really hurt him is the two times that he's had significant playing time, he's come in, you know, in relief and kind of a game that was already decided in Kansas right. City against when Hoyer kind of blew up and yesterday when Cam kind of blew up. I'd love to see him, you know, get an opportunity where he starts a game, you know, right from the start and see what he does and, you know, have a full week of practice with the ones all the time because, you know, he doesn't get a lot of practice with the ones last year with Brady, of course, you don't. And this year with Cam, they're trying to get him ready. So we didn't get a lot of run with the ones. You know, he got hurt in camp, so that kind of set him back a little. I'd like to see him get a full week of practice or two with the ones and then maybe start a game. And, you know, if Cam can't turn it around, you probably will see that at some point. But, yeah, I think it's kind of hard to judge him. He's made some poor decisions, but the fact that he's been in relief and you know, the pressure's been there to kind of bring a team back, you know, not an optimal position for a backup quarterback.
How far are they from, do you believe, that happening, where Stidham would replace Cam Newton?
I think, again, I'm going to point to this week in Buffalo. You know, I think if Cam starts slow, I think maybe Stidham comes in at the start of the second half rather than waiting till the fourth quarter, because this is such a critical game. If they lose this game, you know, then you're definitely looking at a wild card at best, and even that's going to be a really tough road to hoe. You know, but if they win this game, then the division is still in sight and, you know, you win the division, you get a home playoff game and, you know, maybe they're playing really well by the end of this, you know, the end of the regular season, but, it's tough to say a must win game in October, but, this is a must win game Sunday, really.
So let me ask you off the beaten path, what you're seeing from Matt Patricia in Detroit. I brought this up on my show today. That on the TV side, that I noticed, you know, because I know that they should have had no business winning that game yesterday because the Falcons butchered that like Sam the Butcher. I mean, Gurley steps over the line, they give him the ball back, and the guy goes down on the last play of the game and throws it to Hawken, win the game and steal that game in Atlanta. But here's the deal. I don't care what anybody says about anything. All I know is they did it. And this is the NFL, which is what's the final score and who won? And Detroit won the game. And all I know is they're 500. And 3 weeks ago, they were going to hang him, let alone fire him. They wanted him dead and gone in Detroit. Like, you're fired, hot seat. His pants were on fire. But now, 3 weeks later, for the first time ever, I actually think the guy's starting to do a good job in Detroit. Is that possible?
Yeah, you're not going to believe this when I tell you, but I actually picked them to win the Super Bowl this year over Tennessee in the preseason rankings. I remember being around them for a week last year when the Patriots were out there at training camp, and I thought he had a really good vibe with that football team. Now they had some injuries, and you know, they had a lot of inexperience up there, but I like the way he coaches, and I like the direction that team's going, and I think Stafford is one of the most underrated players in the league. That touchdown pass to Hockenson yesterday to win the game, the way he changed his arm angle and was kind of, you know, drifting as he threw it, that's right. The kind of throws we see Mahomes make, and everyone goes crazy when he makes one of those throws. But Stafford's been making them for a long time. He's been a guy that could change arm angles and throw on the run for many years now, and now he finally has some really good weapons. So I like that team a lot. It's a tough division, you know, with the Bears and with the Packers, but you know, I like the way the direction they're going, and I always thought Matt Patricia was a great defensive coach here. And you know, obviously it takes time to establish your program, and it's taken time up there, and he's taken his lumps, but I think they'll be a winning team.
You know, it reminded me of the way Mafia throws. He goes to the axe bar where they throw axes. Have you ever seen these people now? They go throw axes at the bar, and he's throwing hatchets. And Mafia has become an expert marksman with the hatchet throwing. It looked like Matt Stafford throwing a hatchet to Hockenson on that winter. Mafia is getting married next month, early in the month, and he's been practicing his hatchet throwing. If anything happens in his marriage, he's going to become a professional hatchet thrower. Jim, I would spend more time talking bad about the other teams in Boston, but I think I've given you enough negativity for one evening, so I'm going to let you go. And I will, the next time we catch up, we'll talk bad about the other teams up there. But thanks for filling us in on the lowly Patriots as they head to Buffalo for a must-win game against the Bills and a huge chip for Newton. He either gets it done here or he might lose his job. All kinds of problems with the Patriots. Jim, all the best, buddy. Stay healthy. Thanks for coming on the bench as usual.
You bet, Scott. Take care.
All right. I love Jim McBride of the Boston Globe. Patriots got whacked by the Niners yesterday. So 33-6, that was ugly. Pharrell on a bench. All right, Pharrell on a bench. You know, coming up this Saturday on Pharrell-a-ween, the 31st, two of the best boxers in the world go head-to-head for possibly the fight of the year. Don't miss Gervonta Tank Davis as he takes on Leo El Terremoto Santa Cruz live on Showtime pay-per-view. That's this Saturday, the 31st, Pharrell-a-ween. Two of the world's most popular fighters, Davis and Santa Cruz, will meet in one of the best fights that can be made in boxing right now. It's a true 50-50 matchup between all action fighters. These guys throw hands like nobody's business. The four-fight pay-per-view stack card from the Farellimo Dome in San Antonio, Texas, off the Riverwalk will be the first major boxing or sporting event for fans in attendance there since COVID-19 forced a halt to U.S. sports in March. The Alamo Dome has implemented a comprehensive health and safety plan, protocols in place to protect people. Seating arrangements are different. They're going to have parties separated. They got a adhere to all these protocols, distributed tickets in seat blocks to maintain distance between groups. Tickets are available now at Ticketmaster.com. You can actually go to this fight in San Antonio. It's a 130-pound belt at stake and a 135-pound belt at stake. You got the Davis 135-pound title and Santa Cruz's 130-pound title. They're both up for grabs. Last time it happened was back in the day in 88 when Sugar Ray Leonard and Donnie Lalonde fought for the lightweight, heavyweight, and the super middleweight title. And then in 2014, Floyd Mayweather fought Marcos Maidana in a rematch for the super welterweight and welterweight championships. So this rarely happens. These two are incredible. There's a stacked undercard as well. San Antonio phenom, WBA super lightweight champ, Mario Barrios taking on the hard-hitting Ryan Cowboy Carl from Houston. That's going to be great. Pro Grace fighting Heraldez plus Cruz against Magdaleno in an IBF title eliminator bout. Go to Showtime.com, the Showtime app, or call your cable operator, satellite provider to order the fight Saturday on pay-per-view.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcasts? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Stafford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
What's more enjoyable than everything fun and exciting from across the world of BuzzFeed?
Yes, if you've ever loved a video from Tasty, Cocoa Butter, Paro-like, Nifty, Goodful, or BuzzFeed Celeb, we'll have something for you on BuzzFeed Daily.
And don't forget about great interviews that break down all the wait, what, from the internet and beyond.
Whether it's the world's preeminent astrologist, the star of your favorite streaming show, or maybe even the person behind that TikTok, you know the one. If they're making you smile, we're talking to them.
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.